Chris, it's official. Snow has finally come to Michigan, and winter has started.
So winter is here. Winter is no longer coming. Winter is here.
No.
Okay.
Winter is here.
It's cold here. It's a whole 47 degrees outside. So, California. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost started singing Tupac, but, you know, we don't have the rights to that, so I can't do that, among other reasons. it's that time of the year. I love the winter. I'm one of those people but here's the thing, I don't have to deal with snow, so.
Right, you don't have to deal with, you know, black ice, constant snow shoveling, having to deal with blizzards and, what else comes with snow? Idiots on the road that don't know how to drive.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I've never driven in the snow before, so I wouldn't know how to do it.
The problem is that it happens here every year, and people still don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to, I just wouldn't do it. I would just Uber everywhere or Lyft or whatever. Like, I just say, nope, no thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not putting chains on tires. I'm not getting snow tires. Like, yeah, I'm not doing it. But we have something that may warm your heart, Jeff, that we're going to talk about today. New iPads.
Oh, yeah. You got something new, didn't you? What's the...
Who doesn't like a new iPad?
I don't know anyone that doesn't like them.
I mean,
I wouldn't be opposed if I got one.
I mean, maybe some Linux people don't like them, but, you know, they're Linux people.
They're not listening to this podcast.
Linux people, they don't like anything. And I can say that because I have a VM running Linux at work. So that's, it's okay. I can say that. So I got my new iPad. I got the 11-inch iPad Pro 256 Space Gray with the keyboard. Funny thing, though, the pencil has not shown up still. It's lost.
Really?
Have
you figured out what's going on with that?
A certain delivery company is looking for it. And they're actually being really helpful, so I'm trying not to shame them. I'm not trying to say their name or shame them on Twitter or anything. They're being incredibly helpful. What most likely will end up happening, I think they said they have to look for it for a certain amount of days. What will end up happening is they'll end up doing some sort of insurance replacement, and I'll just order a new one or something.
Okay.
So, that kind of sucks. But it did, because I finally thought of a good engraving for the pencil, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to say this, but I haven't heard anybody else say this, so I'm going to go ahead and say I came up with it. I'm going to put on it for the engraving, number 2 pencil.
Yeah, there was someone on Twitter I saw put HB on it, which is the same idea.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I thought that was super clever.
I like it.
Like, I tried for the engraving, I was messing around with it. The Untitled site is too long. May the Force Be With You is too long. Like, everything that I could think of was too long, but doing number 2 pencil, that I thought that was kind of clever, but probably not.
Why not just do Untitled site without the?
Because my site's the Untitled site. When Gruber gets mad when people just say talk show, it's the talk show.
Okay.
I paid a lot of money for the. I'm just kidding. Untitled site wasn't available, so I went to the Untitled site.
All right. I think that's fair.
We kind of wanted to get into some new iPad stuff. I had some thoughts, and I was kind of thinking we could... I wrote some stuff down in our doc here, and I was kind of thinking we could just kind of go down the list and chime in when you have some thoughts that you want to talk about, and we'll just kind of work our way through a few of these things. We got some questions and a whole bunch of stuff to just kind of go through in this episode.
Yeah. So you told us what you got. How does it feel in your hands? Before we even talk about how things are working with it, how does it feel in your hands?
It's really different. So I went from the second generation 12.9, which is big, heavy, and bulky. This one is light as a feather. Like, it is, it feels so good. It's after we recorded, or maybe I did say this on the last episode, I don't remember, it's been so long, this is the second thinnest device Apple has ever made, next to the sixth or seventh generation iPod Nano. So this thing is incredibly thin. It's really nice. It feels really good in your hand when you're just holding it. Even the keyboard case, I don't think adds too much bulk to it. Now, this is only for the 11-inch. I can't speak to the 12.9. But I think so far, like, it feels really good. Like, I love being able to sit down on the couch and just play with shortcuts. That was something, I mean, I technically could do with the 12.9. It got to the point you would play with it for 5 minutes and then you just set it down because it was too much and I just pick up my iPhone. Make sense?
Kind of, yeah. Are you recording with it right now? Because you usually record with your iPad. So is that working?
I am recording with my iPad right now. The stuff for my permanent setup hasn't come in yet. It'll be in next week. So right now, I just charge it up to 100%, and then I'm using the USB-C to headphone jack adapter. So.
Okay. So you're not charging it while we're using it?
No, but it's at 100%. I went 2 days before I actually had to charge this thing when I first got it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. No, the battery on this thing is stellar. I'm not worried at all about like running out of battery life. I've been using it all morning. I started charging it about 5 a.m. It was charged up by about like 6:30. It was only at like 70%, somewhere around there. And, and I've been using it since then off battery and I'm still at 100%.
Okay.
So
let me roll back here a second. You were saying that using this iPad made you want to go back to your iPhone.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Using my 12.9% or 12.9% 12.9 iPad, okay. like when I was just sitting on the couch or something like that, it was so heavy. It made me want to go back to using my iPhone just when I was like sitting on the couch and stuff because it was too hard to hold in one hand and poke around with and stuff like that. I still think the 12.9 is very much a desk laptop or a desk iPad, though I haven't really had a chance to really get my hands on the new 12.9.
How many dongles have you bought so far that are USB-C compatible? Because from what I understand, nothing that's Lightning or any peripherals that you have for your other iPad will work for this one, not just because it has a Lightning port, but because even if you used a USB-C to Lightning cable, it wouldn't work from what I understand. So what kind of peripherals are you getting? What kind of things are you buying? And is it worth the extra money to do this?
Okay, I have a broader statement on USB-C to begin with before we kind of get into the dongle part.
Sure, preface it with this.
So USB-C, I am super excited it's on the iPad. I feel this is what belongs here. Overall, it's kind of frustrating because I've lived in this iOS world where everything was Lightning, so I would be charging my iPhone, iPhone's done charging, and I could take that same cable and plug it into my iPad. I could charge my iPad, unplug that cable, and charge my AirPods. So it was kind of like this perfect utopia where I only needed one cable to charge everything.
Right.
The other day I was at work and I was charging my iPad. iPad was done charging, unplugged it and needed to charge my headphone, or I'm sorry, needed to charge my AirPods. Went to plug that in and went, oh yeah, that's not the same anymore. So I had to go dig through my bag and get a different cable and stuff like that. Not a big deal. Really, ultimately, not the end of the world. It was kind of this, oh yeah, I'm kind of now in this weird area where some stuff needs one cable and other stuff needs another cable. Like my cable bag has doubled in size since I've been doing this because I can't put just a couple of cables in there anymore. And to be fair, like a couple months ago, I did get a Nintendo Switch and I bought a USB-C to USB-C cable. I already had the USB-C brick for the fast charging for the previous iPads. And I already had the US, and I actually had both sizes of the USB-C to Lightning cable. So I already had that stuff and that's actually been pretty cool. I'm going to talk more later about the USB-C to Lightning cable because there's some cool stuff you can do with that, but we got a whole different thing for that. Overall, I like it. I very much want Apple to move all their other products to USB-C. We're kind of now in this world of like, why even bother with Lightning? All of the modern Macs Apple sells now come with USB-C or Thunderbolt 3 or whatever. The iPad comes with USB-C. So really, like, it's the AirPods, the iPhone, like the peripherals, like their keyboards and mouses and stuff like that, those have Lightning chargers on them. All those things could easily move to USB-C, and I think it would be a better world if they did that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because everything would just be USB-C to USB-C cables.
Yeah. And I think that's going to come with time. I think the era of Lightning is going to slowly end. And I think, you know, in the next couple of years, more and more things will have USB-C power with them. And it will become the new standard. And I think that that's probably the best choice for Apple, because I think it allows them to not have to spend the extra time and money and bad press to make their own Lightning 2.0. If they're just able just to continue with an IO that's already available and pretty standard and going to be the new standard in the next 5 to 6 years, that everything will be USB-C, USB-A's, is on its way out. I think that that would probably be the best bet for them. I think it's the same reason they went with Qi charging as opposed to their own wireless charging, is because it's an industry standard and it allows them to not have to worry about the innovation of which that is going to be. And that standard allows them to worry less about the logistics of it and more about the look and feel of it and things like that. But for some reason, air power just doesn't work. That's the outlier, in my opinion. But I think having USB-C take over as far as where Lightning used to be is a good idea. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to move to a different town with a different set of dongles and, you know, see what you have to do with that. So what kind of peripherals do you have, and what ones are you still have to wishing that you have to get?
I've ordered a couple of things so far. I already mentioned I ordered the USB-C to headphone jack adapter from Apple. That was like 10 yep. bucks or something. It was kind of ridiculous. I really think that should have been in the box, but their argument was we've never put headphones in the box for iPads. And I'm like, yeah, kind of, but you also put a headphone jacket on that. So you don't have to include headphones, but maybe the adapter would have been nice, especially considering how expensive these things are. I did buy a USB-C like hub that has USB-C to USB 3.0 adapters, SD card, HDMI, and that's kind of been kind of cool. I've been playing around with that. After I bought that one, I found another one that's basically the same thing but has two USB-C ports on that, which is what I really need, so I can both charge and plug in my headphone jack adapter for my podcasting setup. So that one's on order. That one's by Kingston. So I'm going to try that. I'm going to do a whole like video based on like USB-C peripherals and stuff. I have a 27-inch high res. I don't think it's 4K. It's like 2560 by 1440, I think. Is that 2K? I
think it's 2K.
I don't know. Whatever that is. I have one of those monitors. I plugged my iPad into that. It's kind of cool. None of the major apps I do like take advantage of the external display, like have something on like different on the external display than what's on the iPad. So I'm not really like too into it. I've already taken it off my desk because it's a 27-inch monitor, so it takes up a ton of space. It's
right.
If I had something that was probably a little bit smaller, like a 22 to 24-inch monitor, I would probably be a little more enthusiastic about it. But a 27-inch monitor is pretty huge for something that you're not really going to be using all the time.
So you were saying none of the apps you're using have any like external display things with it. Like, what apps have you tried with it so far? And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, the biggest app that I can think of that I'd actually want something from it is LumaFusion. And supposedly they're working on it. They said they were working on some sort of external monitor support a while ago. I don't know if that's still coming or not. So whatever. But that would be the biggest app that I would use. I'm not an artist, so drawing apps, not really a big deal for me. I know like iMovie has support for it, but iMovie doesn't have nearly the functionality that I need.
Okay.
But basically, what I'm kind of thinking as far as these USB dongle deals is I'm going to have the USB hub, the one that I already bought, I'm going to leave that in my bag, like my travel bag, so I always have a way to plug stuff in. Because it pretty much has every port you'll possibly need. And then the one with the two USB-C ports, that's going to be like mounted to my desk.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking. There's some other hubs that I ordered, but I canceled the orders once I found the Kingston one, because I think that's going to be the best one, like the best bang for your buck one. But we will see when I get it. There's a couple that have been announced that were like they're going to mount on the side of the iPad, and I was kind of excited for those for a second, but then I found that Kingston one, and the Kingston one doesn't mount to the side of the iPad, so it doesn't look stupid. Because the ones that mount to the side kind of look a little ridiculous. Like, I know what they're going for. There's the MacBook Pro ones that mount to the side, and those look interesting.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I used to have one that mounted to the side of my MacBook Pro, and I took it back 2 days later. I just hated it. I also felt that it wasn't entirely secure. Like, I felt that it was just, you know, an accidental bump with my hand, or if I was carrying it and I hit it against the wall just right, the port will just snap, and my USB-C port will just be completely gone, and this, you know, $80 USB-C hub will just brick my iPad because it's got a USB-C port stuck into it, and it's just busted. It felt very flimsy, and I didn't like it, and I didn't like that on my MacBook either. So I would steer clear from those and just get one of those dongles that stick out with a little bit of, like, a 6-inch cord to it or something, just so it's a little less of a hazard.
I do have a complaint about that. Why are all the hubs, like, have that such a small cord on it? Like, I want something to mount underneath my desk, because I won't, like, once I plug everything into it, I really won't be unplugging and plugging in much. So I would rather have something mount to the bottom of the desk so I don't see it. Why do they have such small cords? Like, I don't know if it's a bandwidth issue. It could be that, but I doubt it. I don't know. It's just a complaint. I'd like something to have a longer cord. And finding USB extension cords, good luck. They all look terrible.
I was going to ask, that was my next question, is if they make a USB-C extension cable.
Well, here's the thing. Like, there's like two kinds of USB-C products. There's good USB-C products, and there's USB-C products that might fry your other USB-C products. I am like buying name brand stuff only when it comes to this USB-C life.
Okay.
Because there is so much like cheap crap out there that is just thrown together that if you're putting power through it, you may end up frying something. So if you're looking at USB-C hubs, do not buy the cheap one. Do not buy like the one that has this is just from Amazon and it has like two positive reviews. Do your research, or wait till I do my video and I will tell you which one to get, because I'm going to do some crazy testing on it, because I do not want to fry my iPad.
Okay. I wonder what Apple has as far as USB-C dongles available on their
website. They have a lot now because of the MacBooks.
Oh yeah,
but they're expensive. They are very expensive.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, this Kingston one so far, I think, is the best bang for your buck, but I haven't gotten it yet, so it is not a recommendation. I'm kind of waiting for it to come in, and then I'll do some testing with it.
Okay.
So that's kind of USB-C. I'm excited that it's here. It's cool to do stuff with it. It's hopefully everything else gets USB-C in the future.
Yeah, we'll see. So with that, talk to me about the keyboard with it, because that's not using USB-C. That's using the new smart connector. I want to know more about the smart connector, if you have any thoughts on it. And I want to know how this new keyboard compares to the old smart keyboard for the first couple generations of iPad Pro.
So I never had the smaller iPad Pro.
Okay.
I had the small non-iPad Pro, the base iPad. So I've never used the small smart connector keyboard. That being said, it's not a full-size keyboard, but I'm very impressed with how usable it is.
I was curious to see how this keyboard was going to fare, because I think the footprint on it is the same, because all they did was expand the screen, but the size of that one compared to the 10. 10.5 is the same.
And it's slightly bigger, but not really. I think it's like 2% bigger.
For all intents and purposes, it's pretty comparable to the 10.5 as far as footprint goes. So the keyboard, in my opinion, would probably be about the same. Maybe one key is now a full-size key as opposed to a half-size key. But
looking at the images of the two keyboards side by side, the key sizes look to be identical.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you like it?
I like it so far. It took about 20 minutes to get used to, because the keys are slightly smaller. But once you kind of like figure out like how the keys are smaller and stuff like that, I'm flying on it. It's fine. This is what I'm using it right now full time until I'm done with my review. And then I'll probably do like some sort of like desk setup with the canopy, the canopy keyboard case with like the magic keyboard and stuff actually works really great with this iPad. There's just enough bezel that it sits high enough that it works really well with it. So I may use that, or I may go back to a mechanical keyboard or something just for my desk setup. But this will definitely be my travel keyboard. This will be the keyboard I take to work, things like that. It works fine. I can type on it all day long. I just like a full keyboard when I'm sitting down at a desk.
Okay. All right.
The other thing too is it's a folio keyboard, so it covers the front and the back, so it kind of looks like a book. I wasn't really sure how to feel about it before I got it, but now that I got it, I like it. It's very boring on the front and back. It's just black. It's very so mine is now covered in stickers, just to kind
of
like
of course it
yeah,
is.
It needed something. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The other thing too is there's two viewing angles. There's the there's like the traditional smart connector keyboard angle, and then there's this one that's a little bit further back. The little bit further back one is basically a right angle. I haven't found a use case where that's usable for me. So, and this is just on the 11. I don't know if the angle's any different with the 12.9. I would imagine so because it is bigger, but it's probably not that much of a difference. So I don't know, but yeah, it's basically a right angle. So I haven't found a use for that further back angle yet, but the normal angle, the one that was kind of always the proper angle for the smart connector keyboard, is there, and it's fine and it works great.
So have you tried writing with it on your lap, like on the couch or something like that? Like, how does that compare to what you've used previously?
So much better.
Okay.
It is so much better than the previous smart connector keyboard because the bottom of this thing is all one piece. There's no break in it anymore, and it's solid. It's on solid plastic. I guess that's plastic. I don't really know. I think it's it feels like plastic.
It's definitely not metal.
It's not metal. It's definitely – it feels like plastic. It feels like a good quality plastic. I say plastic. It's not like Tupperware or something, but It feels solid. It sits in my lap. It doesn't bend. The keyboard doesn't fall forward anymore because there's the back part. It's definitely the – I think it was – I don't remember where I hear it, but if somebody said the smart connector keyboard felt like they designed that thing without actually ever putting the iPad on it and using it, it feels like it was like the original one was just slapped together really quickly. This one actually feels like it was designed alongside this iPad. Like, it doesn't fold around. It doesn't flop around anymore. It feels solid. There's the back piece, so when you like tap on the iPad or something like that, it doesn't like fall over or anything if you hit it too hard. It feels like a good – it feels like they were designed together.
Okay. That's good. That's good to hear. I'm very happy to hear that. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about the hardware. Do you have anything that you want to add before we start talking about what the experience has been like for you?
Overall, I'm really happy with it. The other thing that I really like are the speakers on this thing. They're very loud. We talked about this last time. The subwoofer and the tweeter, those are separate pieces now. And it's very noticeable. I was watching some movie trailers and movies and stuff on this thing, and it sounds beautiful. And the screen alongside that, it looks great too. Like, if you want this as like a movie watching device, you could not get a better portable movie watching device.
Yeah. That's I was curious to see how the sound was going to fare because my 10.5, the sound on it's really, really good. And I find myself watching videos on that as opposed to like using headphones or anything, just because sound on it's great, and I don't have to really make sure I get my big headphones on to make sure I get all the dynamic sound that's with it, because the speakers do it really well. So hearing that the 11 inch isn't compromised in that way, probably improved in many ways.
I put my 12.9 next to my 11. I played a video on my 12.9, then I played the same video on my 11, and the 11 sounded better than the 12.9, and the 12.9 has even bigger and louder speakers than the 10.5. So like I'm thoroughly impressed with the speaker setup on this. I don't think Apple, the team behind Apple's speakers deal, like the HomePod, iPhone, the iPad Pro, like they are doing some phenomenal work. They're just constantly hitting home runs because this is fantastic.
So let's talk about how things have been, using it.
Okay.
I want to know, what the setup experience was like for you. Did you set up as a new one, or did you restore from a backup? I want to know what it's like.
So the first day I restored from the, I actually did the hold the device near another device and restore from that one because okay. I wanted to get up and running as quickly as possible so I can get my first impressions video out because I really wanted that to be the same day, just kind of like my first impressions, just very raw. So I restored from my 12.9 inch iPad Pro and that was actually worked really well. Everything I took the, I had a USB-C to Ethernet cable. I took that and I plugged it in at work and use my super awesome fast internet connection. And it restored incredibly quickly. It restored 60 gigs worth of data incredibly fast.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that. Then the next day I wiped it and started from scratch because I did want this iPad to be a completely new setup. And I had a couple of small issues, and I don't even know if they're issues, but well, I guess I... So Siri shortcuts, the shortcuts that are in settings, not the stuff that's in the shortcuts app, that stuff does not come over. That stuff is local to the device. So like when okay. So you know, like when you get like the one step or something in an app, like if the like in drafts, you can get the new draft and you hit it and you say, hey, this is new draft. Those are local. So though I had about like 60 something of those on my old iPad. Those did not come over. So that kind of sucks. I'm not sure why those don't sync. I can't think of a good reason why they wouldn't sync. But yeah, those did not.
I think it's because it's not built into the app specifically. I think it's because it's part of the OS. And a lot of things that Apple does with the OS, much like Face ID and other things, is local only. And because it, you only get to do those things in the Siri shortcut settings once you've done them enough to where the iOS software or however the learning experience of that machine can kind of tell like, hey, you do this a lot. You want to make a shortcut out of it kind of thing. And if it's local only, it's not going to save over. But that, I think that's just my speculation. I don't know enough about it to really answer that question fully, but that's my inclination on why it's doing that. But is Siri shortcuts the app working for you really well?
The app, sort of. The organization system completely broke. All of my shortcuts got like completely thrown into disarray. I tried twice to reorganize them, and every time I'd get like halfway through, they'd get thrown back into disarray. In fact, about an hour before we started recording, I finally got them into the proper order of stuff, and I have about 100 shortcuts right now. So that was kind of a pain. So I really hope that bug gets fixed here soon. Like everything just keeps getting rearranged and I don't know why, but man, whoo, that sucked. What I've been doing right now is I've been making shortcuts to my like most commonly used shortcuts and stuff like that. I've been making icons to them on the home screen. So that way I'm just putting them in a folder so I can get to them quickly because everything, when they was getting thrown into disarray, it also messes up the widget too because the widget's based on like the order. So that really sucked. But something I forgot about that came with iOS 12, actually it might've been like 12.1, I think, was fave icons in Safari. So, you know, like websites, they have the little icon on the tabs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can enable those. So I totally forgot to do that. I totally forgot that was a thing on when I had my original one. But when I was going through the settings on this one, and I enabled that. And those are really nice. I really like having those. They're good. The one thing I wish Apple would do, instead of centering the text on the tab, push it to the left side. Like align it left. Maybe I'm the only one that likes that, but I think all the text being centered in the tab looks weird.
Yeah, I can see both sides on that. I mean, I think it's a preference thing, and you know, maybe they can make that a setting, but I don't think so. I mean, Apple has a lot of ideas when it comes to the design of things, and I think that would work best for that.
Yeah. And then the other thing that was kind of weird setting up this iPad, because I went from the 12.9 to the 11, is I lost two icons, or I lost two apps in the dock. And so the dock is slightly smaller. You go from 15 apps on the 12.9 to 13 apps on the 11 and smaller iPads. So that kind of was a little more difficult. I actually completely rethought the way my dock worked. So we'll probably talk about like home screens and stuff on a future episode. So I'll save it for that. But the dock being smaller was something I really had to like take into consideration. It's fine now. One thing I wish I could do is, you know, the recommended apps. I wish you could either like turn those down. So say like, hey, give me an extra app that I could put in the dock, but only show like two recommended apps or like one recommended app or something like that. Because I actually use the recent app when I'm editing video, but usually I only use the most recent app. Like I don't go back much further than that. So like if I just had like the one most recent app and give me two extra icons on the dock, I know it won't do it because it'd look weird, but that would be more helpful to me at least.
The dock is a great addition to iOS, but there are some things about it that I think need to have implementations of. Like, it needs to be improved in some way.
Yeah.
Or it needs to be allowed to change the settings on it a little bit. Because for me, one thing that I'm not a huge fan of is when is handoff on it. Like, I understand why it shows up on the dock there and everything, but like I would like to be able to choose what apps use handoff, because
I think you can. Can't you? Maybe not. I don't remember. I could have swore you could use handoff. Like, you can turn on what uses handoff. It's like under Siri or something, I think.
Okay. I'm going to investigate further on that.
Maybe I'm wrong. Well, I don't know. I don't remember, but I think you can.
Okay. Because, well, before I dig myself in a hole, the reason I want that is because some apps I don't want handoff for. Some apps I do, but right now, whenever I have my iPhone next to my iPad, it would have that handoff icon show up, and my entire dock would just switch, and it would be difficult for me to kind of like reorient where things are in that.
Okay.
And that's just, it was problematic in my opinion. And that's one thing that I didn't like about the dock, but I think it needs to have more customizability and more, switches and toggles that you can turn on and off and choose how you want that dock to be, because you can do that a lot with the Mac. You can organize things and you can use different tools to make it so it has what you want on it, and it doesn't change that often. And I think it would be nice to have it on iOS at some point as well.
Real-time follow-up. Handoff, you can't turn the app on or off. You can just turn handoff off and on.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I would like to be able to have some sort of ability to, in notifications settings, I think would be a perfect place to have it, but, or maybe in the handoff settings itself.
Yeah.
But to be able to choose, like, do you want handoff for this? Do you want recent apps to show on this? Do you want, I think it would be a nice touch on, choosing what things show up on your devices, and voluntarily volunteering the apps you want to show up and then terminating the ones that you don't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we've got some questions here, Chris, from our listeners that we asked them to do on the end of the last episode. Do you want to start answering a couple of them?
Yeah, let's do it. You want to ask, and we'll just go through them, or how do you want to do it?
Sure. Yeah, I'll ask, and then if it's specific to the new iPads, I'll let you answer it, and if it's not, we can both answer it run robin style or something.
Sounds
like that.
Good.
So, Grown Up Pixels on Twitter says, "What do you think of the new iPads? I'm currently using the 12.9 second gen and feel like this new iPad is a huge upgrade. Would have liked an even bigger screen and same form factor, but oh well." This isn't really a question, but I wanted to add this because I wanted to know your thoughts between the 11 and 12, because you have had both now. Do you prefer the 11 over the 12, or have you thought about going back and getting the 12 and taking back the 11? Like, where do you kind of stand on the size of the screen? Because this has been a big decision for you, and I kind of want to know, now that you have it in your hands, if it's worth it. Oh no.
You're gonna
that laugh.
It's almost maniacal.
I know it's gonna happen.
Yes, you do. So let me preface this by saying I love the 11-inch iPad Pro. I am keeping the 11-inch iPad Pro. The 11-inch iPad Pro that is on my desk right now is mine and is not going anywhere.
Okay. I'm expecting a butt here.
Oh, there's a huge butt. And I like it, but I cannot lie.
Yep.
I'm going to order the 12.9 this week. So I have some thoughts on this. I love the 11-inch iPad Pro. I love it. It's so portable. It's great to take with me. But I want a bigger screen for editing video. I want a bigger screen for editing audio. I kind of understand why you don't use your 10.5 as your main computer, your go-to computer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it almost feels cramped when you're sitting down at the desk and trying to work for hours on hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a great accessory device. It's a great, like, hey, I'm going to use this as a secondary computer.
Yeah.
But the 12.9, if you are really somebody that works on the iPad full time, the 12.9 is where it's at.
Okay.
I had my 12 this morning. I had my 12.9 next to me, my second generation one. And I was playing with that and my 11 at the same time. And just like the interface. So my biggest complaint about the 12.9 is apps don't really take advantage of the big screen, but web pages do because, you know, that's the way the web works. LumaFusion does because thumbnails and stuff, they're just bigger targets. And with my big meaty hands, it's just easier to tap. I also don't have my Apple Pencil yet. So I am having to, editing this episode is going to be interesting.
I didn't even consider that, but I guess you could just move it to your old 12.9 and use that.
Nope. I'm working on the 11. No, I will use my big meaty finger. So I will power through it, but, the Apple Pencil.
Or you could just go to the store, buy one, use it, take it back, call it good.
I hate doing that, though. I know there's a return policy for that reason, but I feel if, like, us in the tech community keep abusing it, Apple's going to be like, no, you got to have a good reason to, return things. You can't just keep, doing that. So I only do it when it's necessary. But anyways, my thoughts on how I want to use the 12.9. So I'm going to get the 12.9 LTE, and I'm debating between 512 and a terabyte. So I was doing some more reading. Having the 6 gigs RAM in the terabyte version doesn't really make the iPad faster. It's really made, like, the extra 2 gigs is really for the storage controller. It's not there for, like, making the iPad overall faster. Like, apps may stay in memory longer and stuff like that, but overall, it doesn't really make your iPad faster. I would like to have all that extra space to keep video, and I'm trying to get more into photography and stuff like that, so it would be nice to keep all that stuff locally on the iPad, too. Not the end of the world if I can't do that. I think 512 gigs is probably more than enough. For that, I think that's what my second gen one, and now that I fixed the storage issue I was having, I'm not even close to filling the thing up, so I think that would be okay. So I think what I'm gonna end up doing is I'm gonna order just gotta wait for payday. I'm gonna order the 12.9 512 gig space gray one. Get the keyboard case. I'm only gonna get the one Apple Pencil because they're so easy to pair between the two devices. I don't really see the point in ordering two.
Well, because two is one and one is none.
Well, you can always just go to the store and buy another one, but I'm not going to be able to use two at the same time, so I don't need that. I wouldn't even buy a second keyboard case if one keyboard case fit both.
Right. Yeah, that's understandable.
I think I'm going to live that multi-pad lifestyle because there's a lot of stuff that I love about the 11-inch, but there's also some stuff that it falls down on. There's a lot of stuff I love about the 12.9, but there's also some areas it falls down on. So I think for me right now, since I love the iPad so much, I talk about it, I make videos about it, this is my preferred computing platform, I would get both. It's just like if I was a full-time Mac user right now, like if I was a video editor on a Mac right now, I can tell you exactly what I'd have. I'd have an iMac Pro, and I'd have a MacBook or MacBook Air.
Okay.
Because I'd want something portable, but that's not going to be the machine I edit video on. It's kind of my thoughts with the 11-inch iPad Pro. It's not going to be the machine I edit all my video on. I could edit video on it in a pinch if I need to edit a video. I edited my first impressions video on it, and it worked out great. I absolutely loved editing on it. It was so fast, Jeff. I cannot stress how fast this thing is. It is so unbelievably quick. On my second-gen iPad Pro, if I'm moving through a bunch of clips or making a big changes or something, it will stutter at points. At no point did it stutter. I was doing color correction. I was throwing everything I possibly could at it. At no point did it stutter, slow down, freeze on me. It was fantastic.
So I have two questions here or two possible scenarios to kind of fix this. Cause Number one, why are you buying the 12.9 if you already have a 12.9? Are you still getting rid of that one, or is that not the case anymore?
Well, I did promise it to somebody already, so it is spoken for, and I promised it to him, so it's gone. Like, I told him I'm gonna hold on to it for a couple of weeks because I got some videos and stuff I want to film with it, but like once I'm done with it, it's theirs. The other thing too is that these iPads are such dramatic differences in as far as design and like the way that you interact with them. Like, I know you can still swipe up from the dock on the old ones to go home and swipe down in the right corner, but they're so dramatic as far as like the displays and just the like the pencil and all that stuff that I would want both of them to be side by side. Like, I want them to be identical. I don't think I mentioned the 12.9 one I'm going to get has LTE.
Yeah, you did mention that. So that's going to be your portable one then?
That's going to be the one I take with me because – so my big issue with like having the 11-inch one as the one I take everywhere with me is LumaFusion and Ferrite don't sync their projects between like over iCloud or anything. And I wouldn't ever expect them to, especially LumaFusion, because those projects can get so big it wouldn't be feasible. Like, it wouldn't be – I don't expect that. You could export the projects and then import them. But like, if stuff can get really wonky that way, so what I'm thinking is my 11-inch one is going to be kind of like my sit on the couch and play around with one, like if I'm like going on a plane ride or something, because it's a little bit smaller and a little more portable, things like that. Like, it's kind of like going to fit a very small niche, and it's probably too much money to spend on a product to like really like keep around for like the use cases that I'm gonna keep around for it. And I may change my mind, and I'm still in that return window, so I could take it back and just say screw it, just give me the 12.9, and that's all I really need. But I really kind of want to try, you know, having two different size iPads. I kind of want to try it. I mean, these are my computers. Like, I don't have a MacBook Pro anymore. I don't have a Mac Mini. Like, these are the computers I use. I don't really upgrade. I didn't even upgrade my iPhone this year. I didn't really feel the need to. I don't even know what's coming for the iPhone next year. I may not upgrade it then. Like, the iPhone is just one of those things I have because I have it. I've also decided I'm going to stop filming videos with my iPhone. I'm looking into like getting a DSLR camera and something like big boy YouTuber stuff. My YouTube destroyed my video. The YouTube compression absolutely destroyed this last video that I did, and I filmed it at 4K too. So I don't know what happened there. I was so upset. I exported every which way. I could not get it to look nice. It was late. I just wanted to go to bed. I was upset.
Well, it brings me to my next question then. Like, why not take back the 11, get the 12, and get it spec'd out the way you want, get the 1 terabyte one LTE version, and, you know, have it future-proof for a while, and just get the latest generation iPad. Not the iPad Pro, but just a regular old iPad for couch surfing and things that you won't necessarily need the 12.9 for. Like, why not do that?
I still want the smart connector keyboard. I still want to be able to type on it. I still want a keyboard that's always attached. Honestly, like, just using these devices, like, I want them to be the same across the board. It's so fast, like, going back to a slower iPad, I don't want to, because I imagine I still will edit video on this, like, in a pinch or something if I'm traveling someplace, or, like, and, like, if I'm traveling someplace, I'll take the 12.9. I don't know. I just really, like, part of me just really wants it to be uniformed across the board. I also have this feeling, too, that there will not be a new iPad next year, that these were announced late enough that there won't be a 2019 iPad, that there'll be the iPad will probably come in like spring or summer of 2020. So like my thought is that these devices will probably be for 2 years, so I think that would be okay. And even still, if these devices are for 2 years, I will probably keep the 11-inch one around for a while. Like, this one won't get upgraded as much as like the 12.9 would.
Okay, all right, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of my thoughts on it. The other part of this question, too, was the person mentioned they wanted a bigger screen but the same form factor. I would love some sort of, like, big, like, 27-inch, 30-inch, like, studio tablet that just sits on a desk.
I thought you were kind of insane for wanting a 27-inch iPad for, like a desk kind of thing. But then my work got a Surface Pro, like, I forget studio. What it's called, but, yeah, the Surface Studio. And we use that as our audio machine.
Okay.
And like we have an audio board connected to it.
Okay.
Through a server. And I was playing around with it, and I didn't do anything detrimental to the computer, but I wanted to really see how it plays. And I tilted it down into like a landscape, like tablet kind of mode. And I used the Surface Pencil that came with it or whatever it's called. And I can honestly kind of see where you're coming from now.
Yeah.
I think it would be really, really great for people that want a Mac at home but don't like Mac and want an iPad instead. I think that would be great for it. I think some of the things that Surface Studio has done is really impressive, like the color wheel and things like that, and the way that you can kind of interact with everything on a pen with a pencil is really, really nice. And it seems like it's more and more feasible for Apple to create something like that than I thought before. It's just, it's really, really nice. So hopefully that does come to fruition, but we'll see.
I really think it would be interesting. It would definitely be geared towards like creatives and stuff. I don't think we will see it until after Apple Pro Apps come out. Like, it definitely seems like something like, hey, okay, remember that Final Cut app we launched? Now do it on a 27-inch iPad.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got an A27X chip or whatever.
Don't say that, because that's way too far away. We're thinking like A12X chip, so it's going to be like A15X maybe. Let's go with that
maybe,
one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was expecting them just to change it to the screen size, so it's like a 27-inch monitor.
Yeah, I mean, usually they just like add one numeral to it. So, but yeah, no, I think a bigger iPad would be really cool.
Yeah. So question one's done, Chris.
that only took 20 minutes. To be fair, that was a whole different topic, and we just kind of rolled that topic into a question. So
yeah.
The other one shouldn't take as long.
No. Kevin asks, are the bezels in the new 12 9-inch iPad thicker than the bezels in the 13-inch iPad Pro or my MacBook Pro?
I don't have a 13-inch MacBook Pro. We have some at work, and I was kind of looking at it. They're definitely smaller. The bezels on the new iPads are thicker than the thinnest bezels on the 10.5 iPad Pro.
Okay.
But they're there for a reason, because it makes it easier to hold on to. So you're not accidentally tapping anything. I don't think the bezels on this iPad will... In the near future, I don't think the bezels will ever get any smaller, because they're the size that they need to be for a very particular reason, for holding on to the iPad.
I also was thinking, because the bezel, correct me if I'm wrong, but the bezels are the same size on top, bottom, left, and right, right? They're all the same?
Correct. It's all uniformed, yep.
I think the reason for that, and this was mentioned on ATP, is because I think the reason the bezel's length is the size that it is because on the bottom – that was the minimum length that was needed for a bezel for the USB-C port to fit.
Yes, and I'm also guessing, too, the Liquid Retina display has something to do with that. Apparently, the Liquid Retina display tech is, like, so big and pushed right up against the screen that that's why, like, a headphone jack wasn't put in there, because a headphone jack goes so deep in that it wouldn't work with that screen. So it was kind of a trade-off. I still think, like, the ultimate thing to do if you were taking away the headphone jack is they should have gave us two USB-C ports.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that will come. I don't know if Apple will really want that, but maybe they have someone inside that's fighting for it.
I hope so.
They'll win.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Because I think it needs it.
Andy asks, now that the iPad Pros have USB-C, do you think some form of trackpad support is coming in iOS 13/14?
Probably. I would be very surprised if it wasn't at least being considered. I don't know if it'll be like traditional mouse and keyboard support with like a clicker, like a pointer on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll be that. It's honestly hard to like figure out, because I could, in one world, I could see them like dropping just a cursor on the screen and like, there you go, have your bloody mouse. But at the same time, like I think Apple would try and do something different. I don't know. The one thing that I am very interested in is the fact that they would not have to release a new iPad along with like trackpad support. They would just release a new keyboard case. Now, that keyboard case, I'm guessing, is going to be really expensive, considering the current one for like the 12.9 is already like $200. So knowing Apple, it'd be like $250 to $300 range. So that would be incredibly expensive, but I would still pick it up because that would be really interesting.
If they do trackpad support, there's no way they're going to put a mouse on it. There's no way they're going to put a pointer on it. I think it's going to be a gesture-based kind of thing, and it will just be... you know, as if you had a touchpad on your Mac, but you couldn't see the...
Kind of like the Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like the Apple TV. I think it'll be more like that than it would be for the MacBook, where there's a precise pointing device. I think that is where Apple will draw the line when it comes to using a trackpad with the iPad.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mickey asks, will I be able to hook speakers up to a USB-C dock? Have you gotten into the speaker game yet with that and see if it works?
Yeah, I have two like studio monitors sitting on my desk. If you get like the USB-C to headphone jack or like some sort of USB-C dongle or something that you can plug them into, it'll work just fine, just like it does with the iPhone and like the Lightning connector and stuff like that.
JJ asks, the Lightning iPad and iPhones had accessories which allowed for reading and writing of files externally to flash storage. I used one and it worked pretty well. How difficult would it be for a developer to write the same for USB-C even without Apple's help?
So I think the devices he's talking about are like the ones from SanDisk, where it had a USB flash drive, but on top of that, it had a Lightning plug, so you could plug it into a traditional computer and and like a iPhone or an iPad. It would basically be the same thing, though I don't know if we would see that coming. Maybe SanDisk just updates their apps to support USB-C flash drives, or specifically their USB-C flash drives. But I would expect to, like most people, wait until iOS 13 comes and sees like, hey, is there actually external storage in this? Because I think, because hardware, we talked about this last time, hardware has to come before the software. So like in the USB-C world, we had to get the hardware of we had to get the USB-C hardware before we could get support for USB-C external hard drives, right?
Again, this is on ATP as well, where Marco had a chance to talk with some Apple people when he was playing around with one of the new iPads, and he asked among other things of, why is there no USB mass storage support? And from what he has said, and you should listen to the ATP episode to really get the hear from the horse's mouth, but he basically said that Apple was asking questions like, what would you use it for? And he had use cases and stuff that he would use it for. I think it doesn't make any sense for Apple to not release it. I think that it's one of those things that probably got cut for iOS 12 and has got pushed over to iOS 13. And I can only imagine that because of just the way that things are with Apple is that they haven't released it yet because they want it in a new version update.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be pretty cool if they allowed for USB-C, you know, SSD hard drives or some sort of flat or external storage to be able to be used in the Files app. And from what I can understand from certain people that know what goes into this OS is that it wouldn't be that hard to do. It wouldn't be that difficult to make.
It would honestly be trivial. It would be very trivial. It would be storage support driver and like an update to the Files app. It would be very trivial for them to support it. I really, honestly, I hope it comes. I think when I first started getting into the iPad, I said, nah, we don't need it. I was against it. I have done a 180 on it. I will admit I was wrong. I very much want to see it. I know some photographer friends and stuff like that, they very much want to use the iPad. But, you know, the current workflow for photographers, even though there's Lightroom and stuff like that, they hate that they, you know, everything gets imported into the Photos app and stuff like that. I even built them a shortcut, but, you know, it's still not enough. They don't want to run a shortcut. They want to plop in their SD card or whatever they're using. And and just have it import and go from there.
Yeah. Pool Medic on Twitter asks, I'm going to be using this iPad on the field, and I have only found two cases made by Apple. No third-party cases? Question mark.
I'm kind of not surprised by this one. So a lot of third-party cases come out alongside the iPhone because we get a ton of iPhone leaks. So case makers kind of guess at what the iPhone size is going to be. Or if they're blessed by Apple, they may get some sort of like fake render of it just so they can like get the correct dimensions and sizes with it. iPads, on the other hand, we didn't really get a lot that leaked with them, like as far as physical size and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised at all that we didn't. There's no like major third party cases except Logitech. I'm kind of surprised there's no Logitech keyboard with it.
Yeah, I was going to mention them.
Yeah, I supposedly somebody on Twitter asked them and they said they're working on something that they're going to support the product line, but there's not really too much with it. Bridge already announced that they're working on a keyboard, but I think it's just going to be a standard Bluetooth keyboard. It's not going to be a smart connector keyboard, which is kind of a disappointment. It means one more thing you got to remember to charge, but and it's not going to hopefully it has a USB-C port. If it has mini USB-C or micro USB or whatever that's called, I will just throw my hands up in the air because that would be ridiculous. It should have USB-C.
I'm biting my tongue very hard on my thoughts on Bridge, but go ahead and continue.
Supposedly they're flipping things around, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm probably going to pick that keyboard up when it comes out. But
okay. All right. I'll let you pay for it, not me.
Well, I'm going to return it if it doesn't work. But I was reading, they admitted they were, you know, they had some quality control issues, and they said they turned the whole company upside down, and they're really focused on quality control this time around. We'll see. I'm not vouching for the company. I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but we'll see if that's true or not.
Yeah, I'd rather see if the proof is in the pudding as opposed to speculating. So
as far as other cases go, though, I imagine they're coming. I'm not surprised they didn't come out with the iPad because there really wasn't a whole lot of leaks or anything with it. I imagine cases are coming from, like, you know, like those tough cases and stuff that you can drop from like a 2-story building and you won't get a scratch on your iPad and stuff like that. Those ones that I cringe every time I see them because I'm like, it's such a beautiful device. But I'm one of those people that doesn't even put a case on my iPhone, so you shouldn't listen to me when it comes to case advice.
I can't fathom how you do that, but okay.
I bought a case when I got my iPhone 10. I was like, oh, this thing's kind of slippery. Okay, give me the blue silicone case. I bought it. I used it for a couple of days, then I took it off. And I was like, I could get used to this. And I haven't put a case back on it.
That's bananas to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Grown Up Pixels asked one more question and it's saying, how long do you think the magnets all over the iPad will last? How long will it take for them to begin to weaken? With everything connecting to the magnets, I feel that after the first year or so, we might start experiencing some problems.
Well, first of all, does anyone know how magnets really work? Because from what I understand, it's all blood magic, right? we don't know how magnets work.
What are you, an ICP fan?
I don't know what that is.
Never mind. There's a song by Insane Clown Posse, like, magnets, how do they work?
No, I'm definitely not part of the Juggalo crowd.
No, nor am I, but it's an ongoing meme on the internet.
Okay, I did not know. Okay, in all seriousness,
like, do you think that the magnets are going to be a problem?
I don't know much about magnets, like, as far as, like, how they wear out and stuff over time. I would like to think Apple has thought of that. The smart connector keyboard uses magnets to connect to the keyboard. The previous one did, like, you know, when you plop it in and it connects that way, that magnet's never worn out on me. So I imagine it'll be okay. There's 107 magnets in this thing. Is that what Apple said? Like it's crazy. So I think it'll be okay. But you know, we'll see. Time will tell.
And there's a large capacity of magnets on there, but the thing is that this isn't the first time Apple's dealt with magnets. They've had magnets since MagSafe 1, I think, right? Maybe even before then. They've had it in every iPad before this for the smart covers and smart keyboards. They've had magnets in...
It started with the iPad 2.
Yeah, okay. So they've had it for that as well.
Yeah.
And Sure, some things broke with the smart covers for the old iPads before the iPad Pros and the bezels started to shrink on it. Mm-hmm. But that was with the hinges on it. It wasn't with anything
internally
magnet-wise. Yeah. I don't see this as a problem that Apple hasn't considered, because I think that this will be something that is thoroughly thought out. And I think that, you know, because they've used it for so long that they kind of know how they work. They know how they work, Chris. So it'll work out just fine. But, you know, if there is a problem with it, they'll do a repair program and they'll figure out a way to fix it in the next one. So.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I think they've thought that through. There's a reason why there are so many magnets in this thing, and I'm sure they've thought of it.
Evan Klein over at 40 Tech asks, how bulky and heavy is the new Smart Keyboard Folio compared to the old Smart Keyboard? How comfortable is the Folio to use in reading and portrait mode in bed? Is the 12.9 noticeably more manageable in bed than the old one, both with and without the Folio? The 12.9 part, I think, is going to have to be asked later.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll have to wait till mine comes in. And honestly, this is kind of a hard question to ask or answer, because I went from the second generation 12.9 to this 11, so obviously there's a huge size difference there. As far as like the weight of the 11 inch smart keyboard, like, it's really not that big of a deal. It actually feels good to like carry around and stuff like that. Flipping it backwards and stuff like that and using it in bed is actually really nice. Like, the keyboards are on the backside, so your fingers are on the keyboard, but it disables them, so you're not like typing or anything if you hit something. Overall, it feels great. I don't mind it at all. Though when I sit on the couch or something, I usually just take the keyboard case off and just use it that way. Because I'm a madman and don't use cases. So I don't think, like, if you're worried like the keyboard case or something is going to add a bunch of weight or something to it, I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think it's fine, especially if you need a keyboard. That's the keyboard to get right now, because there isn't really any other keyboard cases out for these iPads yet. Other than, I mean, like I said, somebody from Logitech on Twitter said they're working on one. That doesn't necessarily mean they are working on one. And it could also, if they are working on one, it could get canceled or whatever. Bridge publicly said they're working on one and showed like photos or renders or concept art of it. So I would say they're probably further along than Logitech. So there will be other keyboard options. But for right now, the smart keyboard one's fine. I don't mind it at all. The only thing I don't like about it is it's just kind of boring to look at. So you got to cover it in stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. How does the bulkiness compare? Because with the 10.5, it was really awkward. For those of you that don't know or don't remember, the 10.5 smart keyboard, it wasn't a folio kind of thing. It was this weird origami kind of way of doing things. And if you look at it from the perspective of like a smart cover, there's three sections of it. And the section on the far left was as thin as a regular smart cover, but then the two on the right would be as thick as the iPad Pro itself for the keyboard, because it was folded under itself. With this Folio keyboard, is that different? Is it, you know, how does that compare, or how bulky is it compared to the size of the iPad itself?
So the 12.9 was the same way. And this one, what's nice about the Folio keyboard on the new ones is it's completely flat. There's no longer that like two bump hump.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah, I can't. So it's completely flat on both sides now. So basically it opens like a book. And then you just, then it connects to the keyboard. And I think this is so much better. You lose the media stand where like the keyboard would flip backwards, so you didn't have the keyboard out in front of you. But to be fair, I didn't really use it. I used that a couple of times maybe. I forgot that was there a lot. You don't have to do the weird origami thing anymore, which is super awesome. You just open it up, put it in one of the two like keyboard angle hole stand things, and you're off to work. Like, I really like that. My only complaint is that the further back stand, I don't think is that useful. And maybe it's because of like my desk setup. My desk is really high. And like, maybe that's just it. Maybe I need to like lower my chair some more or something. But for me, I think this works out just quite a bit better.
So my question for you is because I actually did use my iPad in that shorter form where you have, where you would fold the keyboard backward.
Okay.
So I could like write on it and stuff. Do you see any way that people could use the iPad that has a slight angle to it in landscape mode, but they can write, they can draw on it and write with it and stuff like that? Because that was my biggest worry with this new keyboard, is that it didn't really seem to offer that kind of support. So my question is, do you see any alternative methods in which people could use the iPad as opposed to it being completely flat like a piece of paper on the desk?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, the obvious one is you can buy the other folio case thing that's not the keyboard one, and that folds that way. If you have the 12.9, there's a product by 12 South called the Park Slope. And you know what? This 12.9 is actually smaller, so I'm not sure it'll work with it. When I get my 12.9, I'll report back. But basically, the Park Slope puts your iPad. It was really built for the MacBook Pro, but it fit the 12.9 iPad, so it'll put your iPad at an angle. And you can like draw on and things like that. I'm not sure if it'll fit with the new ones or not because they are smaller. So I will report back when I get mine.
Okay.
But I mean, there's going to be a ton of alternatives. There's going to be a ton of accessories that come out in like the next couple months. So if there's not something right now, there will be soon.
Fair enough. So all in all, good purchase for you?
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. I mean, I'm going to go and buy a second one. So, I mean, that's got to say something, right?
So nice, I bought it twice.
So nice, I bought it twice. Well, you put something in the document here that said you went to Best Buy to take a look at them. So what did you think?
Yeah, I love the feel of them. I love the thinness of them. I think that it's a beautiful machine. I didn't really go too in depth with it because that would involve me having to download pro apps and trying them out. And I didn't want to do that on a device on display for the public. I wanted to refrain from doing that. So I played around with it for a little bit. I opened up notes and they didn't have an Apple Pencil 2 available for me to try. I was kind of disappointed in that, but, I opened up notes and I was typing on the glass and, you know, just seeing how it fared as far as screen size. And it's definitely noticeable as someone that's used to the 12.5, but, I could see myself getting used to it like pretty much in a day. The thinness of it is wild to me. And I love the way that the new form factor feels with the square design as opposed to the curve. That thing looks so, so much better. And I look at my 10.5 now, I'm like, oh, that's old, ugly. I want the flat thing. I want the one that looks like a literal slab of glass or a magical piece of glass, as Apple would say.
I love that a slab of glass is being used by like every podcast. Every time I hear it, I like perk up. I was like, wait, did they mention us? And I'm like, oh, they're talking about the iPad. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I was looking at it and I wanted to kind of understand, like, I know that the headphone jack isn't available because of restraint in, you know, the screen was taking up too much space and everything else, but clearly there's room for a USB-C port to fit in. So my question was going to be, why not put the headphone jack there?
Because of how deep it goes. So like the USB-C port doesn't go as deep as like the headphone jack goes. Okay. So
why not
longer.
Have a, you know, and this is a John Syracuse thing from ATP as well. Like, I listened to ATP before we did this episode, and I kind of regret it because of certain things that I'm saying here, but I'm giving reference to,
acknowledgement.
I'm giving credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, but John Syracuse was like, why not have a headphone bump? I was thinking about that. It wouldn't be the weirdest thing that Apple's done.
It wouldn't, but I think a second USB port would be more useful. Like, I think that would just be more useful. If there was a second USB-C port, I would totally be okay having the USB-C to headphone jack adapter.
Yeah.
I think that would be okay, especially since they're pitting this as a pro computer. Like two ports, I don't think is too much to ask for.
No. I mean, we'll see. I don't know as far as like if they'll offer two ports or not. I don't you know, I don't think
it's anytime soon. I'm not saying it's going to happen on the next iPad or anything. If it happens, it'll be like a dramatic rethinking of the iPad. Like, here's your 15-inch iPad Pro with like laptop keyboard style kind of thing. And mm-hmm. we put mm-hmm. like two USB-C ports or something on it. Like, it won't be like, oh yeah, here's the 2020 version of the iPad and we put two USB-C ports on it. So it'll be a while. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a better choice. I'm sure there's a reason why they just went with one, but a second one would have been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, maybe down the road they'll wise up and offer that for their users, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that there's going to be definitely more things that we need to talk about with this iPad, but for right now, I'm happy to see that you are enjoying your purchase and that things are working out really well for you.
Yep.
I'm very curious as to how you're going to handle the multi-pad lifestyle and the new 12.9 iPad Pro once you get it. So we'll do some follow-up there as well.
Yeah, I think I have to order it because of the way I'm ordering it. I have to order it through AT&T. So it may not be in by the next time we record. It may be like two episodes after that. So we'll see. Okay. So it'll be interesting. So did you have any other thoughts on the iPad when you were playing with it or –
No, I just wanted to get like a first impressions kind of thing. Gotcha. I love the feel of it. It's beautiful. It's light. I can see why you decided to get that one over the 12, because the 12 is giant.
Yeah.
It's huge, even with the bezels shrunken down.
I think it's funny. It seems like everyone that had the 12.9 wanted to try the 11, and everyone that had the 10.5 wants to try the 12.9. And
I still want to try the 12.9.
I don't blame you at all. Like, I think – I know you like your Mac, but I think if you had the 12.9, I think it would solve a lot of your complaints. Using the 11, I can see using this for hours upon hours, it could be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's great for portability, and it's mm-hmm. great to take with you when you're just doing small things here and there. But when you like want to sit down and write and work on things and have that be your main device, it gets tiny and your eyes get really, really strained.
Yeah.
And it just hurts after a while. Like, you start dreading, like, oh, I have to go back to my iPad. And because and I love my 10.5. I used it all the time and I enjoy it a lot, but the Mac I have now, the screen is a lot bigger. The keyboard is fine for me. And it doesn't bother me, but the screen size is really what like sold it for me, and a few other things here and there. But I mean, maybe if I won the lottery and I can get the 12.9, I would get it. But we'll never know, Chris. We'll never know.
Well, maybe eventually we'll know. Maybe eventually, unless you like move to Android or something. Ugh.
Mm.
So yeah. We wanted to try something new with this episode. We wanted to try kind of giving some recommendations, like some picks or something at the end of episodes now. And like, I'm going to pick something and Jeff's going to pick something. Just something you guys can kind of check out, maybe iPad related, app related, something just to try out for fun. Do you want to go first or would you like me?
I'll go first. It's nothing like crazy specific or anything, but like I have been one of those people that never used like a glass cleaning thing or anything like that on my devices. I know you're not supposed to use Windex because that could be corrosive, but something with Windex is bad. But like if you go and actually get like computer screen cleaning spray, that has done wonders for me, especially on my Mac. My Mac was full of smudges and dust and things. Not dust, but you could definitely tell it was being used, and you know, over time it becomes too much. And so I caved and I spent, you know, $10 on screen cleaning glass or glass screen cleaning spray. Say that one five times fast. And, it came with a microfiber cloth and everything. And I've been using that. I sprayed the cleaner on the cloth, not the glass. Don't ever spray on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wiped it down and it lived up to its promise. It's completely streak free and it makes everything crystal clear, which I enjoy.
Yeah. These new iPads are fingerprint magnets. They are really bad. So,
it's got the same coating as the old iPads, and that was kind of the reason for it. I think it has to do something with the how the pencil works.
Yes, it does. The oleophilic coating that they used to use on the older iPads that like really kept fingerprints off will not work with the Apple Pencil, so there's this new version of it, but it's not as good, so like it keeps like, yeah, I kind of gave up a while ago keeping like, I'll just wipe it down once a day. And usually when I'll do like some video or something and I'll film my iPad, I always get at least 1 to 5 comments on, hey, you need to clean your screen. And I'm just like, I would end up having to do it like 20 times a day if I was going to keep the fingerprints off of it. Yeah, I do it once a day, throw my hands up in the air and yeah, move on.
Yeah, at that point, you basically have to keep it in bubble wrap and only take it out when you really need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. So I use these devices. I'm not going to pretend like, hey, these are like perfect devices that sit in an air-sealed room that, like, you know, they're in perfect condition. No, I use them. I put stickers on them. My fingerprints are all over them. Like, yeah, absolutely. So my pick is the Lightning to USB-C cable. If you have these new iPads, you are going to want to pick this thing up. It's great because not only can you charge Lightning devices, so I could charge my iPhone or AirPods case or something like that, but when I was filming my first impressions video, I filmed everything on my iPhone. And what I did is I took that cable, plugged it in, and it allowed me to import my videos from my iPhone to my iPad. So I didn't, because before what I was having to do is use AirDrop. And I would, you know, have to wait for it to wirelessly move all that stuff over. And AirDrop's pretty good. Like, it moved everything over pretty quickly, but this moves everything over much faster. It's really nice. So there's a long one and there's a short one. If you're just going to use it to charge from your iPad to your iPhone or AirPods or whatever, you could probably just get away with the short one. But this is a kind of a must-have cable if you have these new iPad Pros. Like, it's pretty handy to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's worthwhile to get. I was always considering buying the USB-C to Lightning cable and the USB-C charging brick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of see that. And I was curious to see if the file transferring would work or that, or if it was just a power only thing. So
it only does like photos and videos. It will literally, when you plug it in, it opens the Photos app and says, hey, what do you want to import? My biggest gripe is it starts at the top. So it starts with your oldest photos. So you have to scroll all the way down.
That's dumb.
Yeah. No. Maybe there's some way to reverse the order that I didn't see. I was exhausted that day, and I'm like still playing around with this thing to get everything going. But yeah, no, I thought that was completely stupid. But I overall, like, it's a great cable. It's handy to have. It's always in my bag now. I'm pretty happy with it. So I think that about does it for us, Jeff. Oh, you have something new to announce.
I do, Chris. So as you most people know, I've kind of been dealing with the identity crisis for quite some time with the name Tablet Habit. So after some thinking and things that I wanted to do differently and, you know, a lot of thought went into this, I've decided to rebrand Tablet Habit to something else.
And that is?
It's called Rocket Panda. You can find it over at rocketpanda.net. And all of the Tablet Habit posts and stuff have migrated over to that website as well. And nothing has really been lost in that way. All I did was just change the domain name and a couple of things here and there on the look of the website, but for all intents and purposes, it's the same site as what Tablet Habit was, but I wanted to go with something a little bit broader and something that was a little more freeing in my eyes. I go into depth about it on my latest post of Tablet Habit is now Rocket Panda. So that's kind of the reasoning behind everything, and that's what I wanted to kind of announce, is that, you know, if you go to tablethabit.com and get redirected to rocketpanda.net, don't freak out. It's not hacks. It's not Russians. It's not anything. It's me. It's 100% me.
Well, unless you're Russian, then it is the Russians. So
No.
Yeah.
I'm not Russian. Well, not that I know of. Anyway.
Well, you can find all my work at theuntitledsite.com. Just like always, I'm on Twitter at Chris_Lawley. That's LAWLEY. Jeff is I am Jeff Perry. All that stuff's in the show notes. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next time.